You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Please open your Bibles to Psalm 51 is where we're going to be today together. I do pray that you have already been greatly encouraged as you've been here today. Happy Father's Day to all that are here. Praying for your great encouragement today as well. By the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Our sermon title today is a prayer for renewal. A prayer for renewal. Just like last week, it's hard to overstate how important the themes that we're addressing this day and last week, how close they are to the heart of God. God cares so much about what we're speaking on this day. This message is for all today, like absolutely it's for all, but it's in some ways specially designed towards men. Again, it's for all, and you'll see that. I mean, who doesn't need renewal in the Lord? But it is definitely directed towards men, being on Father's Day. And men, just right off the bat, like the pathway that's in front of you today in this text from Psalm 51 is absolutely 100% guaranteed a path of blessing. It's a pathway to God. So therefore, it's a call to wisdom. Men, but everyone, women, children, like, you got to listen today, because if you choose to walk this path outlined in Psalm 51, verses 7 to 12, again, it is guaranteed to be a pathway to blessing. And there's nothing like the blessing of the Lord. Many of us know this. Let me just say, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, Psalm 51, its context is David's sin with Bathsheba, his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. This sin with Bathsheba led to David wanting to cover up this sin, so he ended up orchestrating the death, the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. And David was then confronted by Nathan, the prophet. And David, because he was a man after God's own heart, he messed up. I'm so thankful the Bible gives us examples, not of perfect people, but of messed up people who make mistakes, who need the Lord just as much as you and I do. Because David was a man after God's own heart, he messed up big time. And he was a fool. And his sin was wrecking him. But when he was confronted, he did not excuse. He did not rationalize. He immediately was massively struck with repentance. He fell to the floor. He wept. And now he is desperately desiring renewal in the Lord, begging God for forgiveness, which he will find, wanting so much grace, which he will receive, and pleading God for mercy, which he will be given. This is the context of what is probably the most well-known psalm in Scripture for this reason. In verses 1 to 6, the Lord, through David, is laying a foundation of confession and repentance. Now, why? Why is that so important, the foundation of confession through repentance? Here's why. Because before any great work of God will be seen, there must be genuine confession and repentance. Why is repentance so critical in our lives and before God? Because repentance cultivates the soil of our hearts. Back at one of my university jobs, I worked in some landscaping, and I just, again, even before I was saved, just the idea of cultivating hard soil. You take the cultivator and you break up the hard soil, it turns it over, and then the hardness and the crustiness goes away, and it unveils the soft soil ready for planting and health. That's what repentance does to the hard heart, to the calloused heart, to the obstinate heart, the stubborn heart. True repentance, it turns over the hardness of our hearts and produces a soil where the seeds of the Holy Spirit can find and be planted and then ultimately bear fruit. This is the beauty of repentance. Repentance also leads to brokenness. And brokenness, listen, in Bible definition, is absolutely irresistible to God. If you look at Psalm 51, even verse 17 right now, God is telling us, this is such a key verse, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is what David knows in the midst of his own sin and his own, again, mess of his life. God, if my sacrifices are a broken and contrite spirit, God, that is irresistible to you. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So repentance and confession, which we all need ongoing in our lives, is an incredible pursuit of a brokenness which God just loves. He loves so much. It means so much to him because there he finds a man or a woman or a child that I can use, he says, and who is surrendered and not proud but humble and wanting so much to see God and love God and be filled with God. This is why, men, again, like today, I speak to you on Father's Day as I speak to everyone here. Listen, as long as we resist the path of repentance and brokenness, we resist God himself. And if we resist God, we resist his blessing, we resist his joy, we resist his strength, we resist his favor. And that is why some of us here for so many years have not known the true favor of God, because we've never been truly broken and renewed in him. That's why today is so massive. You find me a man or woman in history who's been blessed of God, who hasn't learned the value and the beauty of brokenness. You will not find them because they don't exist. Every man or woman used of God pursues this path in one way or another. Let me say this today too, and this is for those who have faith and for those who are filled with wisdom today. Today's subject is so much more important than your career. It is so much more important than your finances. Today's subject is so much more important than your physical health. And it's even more important than your family. It is so much more important than all those things that we put so many eggs in those baskets. Because when you get a heart that is right before the Lord, then everything else in your life begins to be impacted by the Holy Spirit of God. But see, that the person who believes that is the person who believes God. And the person who's wise and filled with faith and said the ways of God are not the ways of man. It's the person who understands, and today especially the man who understands, when my heart is right and real and broken before the Lord, then I am in the place of the will of God and I am pursuing with passion and with urgency the very blessing of God. This is what David learned through his massive mistakes and sinful, again, tragic moves he made, and yet he knew God was not done with him. And if God was not done with David, he's not done with you either. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, God. Blot out all my iniquities. And verse 10 is really our key verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renovate a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. God, we need your Holy Spirit so much. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O God. And uphold me with a willing spirit. I mean, what a prayer for renewal. David in his brokenness, David in his devastation, David in being ruined in his own sin, and now this massive prayer for renewal. God, work in our midst and change our lives. Notice David's prayer as we pick this up. Number one, please, O Lord, wash me clean. Please, O Lord, wash me clean. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop was a bush that was used in the Old Testament for the ceremonial cleansing of lepers. Just as a priest would take hyssop and sprinkle the leper seven times, declaring him to be clean, David here says, oh God, you must purge me of my sin. God, you must wash me again of my sin. Because God, when you wash me, the text he says, I shall be whiter than snow. What a beautiful image that is. I know it's hard to think of snow in June. But what is more pure in nature than the whiteness of snow? And yet David says, God, if you wash me, I will be whiter than snow. I think the hymn we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. I mean, I guess the hymn should be correctly said. It's not quite correct. Who washes whiter than snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Now think, church, why does David need to be cleansed? Because his sin has made him filthy, that's why. His sin has stained him and ruined him. This is why I hate sin. And this is why you should hate sin too. Sin brings misery. Sin places filth all over us. Sin ruins us. It stains us. And here is David desperately wanting to be clean from the sin that has devastated him and his life. And we come here today, again, in this sense, in this massive issue, this such important topic, we say, please, Lord, take our sin and cleanse us. Take our pride. Take our sexual sin. Take our perversion. Take our greed. Take our lust. Take our bitterness. Take our anger. Take our unforgiveness. Take our selfishness. Take our vanity. Take our idolatry. Take our jealousy. Take our hate. Take our materialism. Take our envy. Take our profanity. Take our drunkenness. Take our hypocrisy. Take our laziness. Take our self-righteousness. Oh God, cleanse us of our sin. As David says in verse 2, cleanse me, God, of my sin. I'm so thankful for David's authenticity here and his genuineness of his plea, his sincerity and his honesty. Remember, this is not a psalm of David saying, God, save me. It's a psalm of David saying, God, cleanse me. And please notice too, David is not, God, cleanse her, cleanse him. He's cleansed me. He's like, I'm the problem, God. I need to be washed. He's not blaming people around him. He's not focused on others. He knows he needs to get right with God. Some here right now, stop focusing on people around you. Enough with the excuses, the rationalizations. Enough with the distraction and the deflections. Stop blaming others. You, me, before God as individuals, God, wash me. You can't change them. You can change you. In terms of responsibility and ownership, God, I need you to wash me and create in me a clean heart. What a prayer of renewal. It starts with wash me clean. Secondly, God, let me hear joy. Verse 8, let me hear joy. Let me hear joy and gladness of the bones that you have broken. Rejoice. Isn't this amazing, eh? David now is anticipating the blessing of a clean heart. What's the blessing of a truly clean heart of God? It's a heart packed with joy. Let the bones that you have broken, God, rejoice. But let's just stop there for a second. Let the bones that you have broken, what is this? This is the effects of sin. Psalm 32, all the commentators agree this is the exact same context as Psalm 51, David's sin with Bathsheba. Look what David says about the impact of sin. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, O God. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Let's put some commentary in on here, okay? Notice this. When I kept silent, meaning when I did not repent of my sin. When I let my sin go unchecked. When I kept silent, I began to waste away. My bones, the inner parts of my body began to waste away. That is the effects when we do not confess our sin. It eats us out from the inside out. Through my groaning all day long, sin brings misery. Oh, when is this going to end? Why can't I get freedom? Because we don't confess our sin. Your hand was heavy upon me. When we go and we're not confessing our sin, God loves us too much to let us stray. So he places us under conviction. And we feel the weight of it, don't we? Because we know we're not right with God. And some of us here right now, this is us right now, right here, in Orangeville Overflow, in this room right now, the weight of God, because he loves you. He loves you, so he presses down upon you. If he didn't love you, he'd be like, go ahead, ruin your life. But he loves you, so we feel conviction and the weight of it. And because he loves us, when we don't confess our sin, our strength is dried up like the heat wave of a summer. The heat wave's coming on this week. You go outside in humidity and it just saps your strength and you feel exhausted and wasted. That's what unconfessed sin does in our lives. This is why we need to be washed and cleansed and renewed. And this is why David says that the bones that you have broken, rejoice. But see, sin, this is so important. Sin clogs our spiritual drain. For many of us, because of sin in our lives that has not been dealt with biblically, we are desperate for God's strength, blessing, and power, and we're so thirsty, but there's a drip, like just a drip, like on our tongue. It's a drip, but God wants to turn on a fire hose by his design. But we are in a place where the tap has essentially been turned off, and we're sitting there. Why, God, why? Because the sin has not been dealt with. So there's no joy, and instead there's misery, and there's exhaustion. And we have no clear conscience and we're running around trying to pretend we're someone who we're not. That is exhausting. I want to remind us, I would be unfaithful to this text right now if I not remind us again the context of David's plea and desperation for renewal is his sin, specifically sexual sin. And sexual sin is one of the greatest devastations of our society and has been throughout human history. The sin of sexual lust, the sin of idolatry and things of sexual nature, of promiscuity, of pornography. The reality is, in this room, there's been many people this week and whoever's watching, many people this week, you have believed the lie again that your pursuit of lust and sexual sin and pornography and whatever it might be is going to lead to joy. That's the world says. It's going to lead to joy. God says to you today, you are being lied to. It leads to misery in the end. You just ruin yourself and everyone around you. That is the truth. There are many of us here right now, though. This has been our week. This has been our last 2 days. This has been last night. And because the Lord loves you so much right now, he says you are believing a lie. If you believe that the pursuit of sexual sin is going to lead you to joy, it will not, it will never, it cannot. It ruins lives wholesale. David right here is the first one saying, God, wash me. God, purge me. God, cleanse me. God, renew me. I thought it was the path to joy. It's not. You, Jesus Christ, are the path to joy. It's amazing you're David here. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Where is David getting the sense of let me hear joy and gladness? He's hearing joy and gladness are found where? In forgiveness. Joy and gladness are found in the cleansing of our hearts. Joy and gladness are found when my conscience is clear before the Lord. I'm not hiding. I'm not double-minded. I'm not being, again, one person here, one person there. Again, I'm an open book before God and others. That is joy. To not pretend, to live one life, to be a man of integrity, a woman of holiness, that brings joy. This is why repentance is so powerful, because sin places a weight, forgiveness releases the weight. Sin shrouds us in darkness, forgiveness ushers in light. Sin brings misery, forgiveness brings joy. Sin estranges us from God, forgiveness restores us to God. And all of these begin with the path of humility and repentance before the Lord. Notice in our text too, in verse 8, notice David says that the bones, God, that you have broken. Interesting, sometimes the Lord allows our bones to be broken. Sometimes God breaks our bones. Why? Because he knows that it's brokenness that humbles us, that reorients us, that leads us to repentance, that therefore ultimately we might find joy. Again, if God did not love us, he would not at times break us. But because he loves us, he disciplines us, exposes us, and allows our bones to be broken that we might get low before him, walk with a limp, and then find joy in Jesus Christ. The ways of God are not the ways of man. And at times he broke the bones of David because he loved him. And he will break our bones too because he loves us. If he did not love us again, he would let us go off into our path of self-destruction and sinful pursuits. Please, O Lord, let me hear joy. Thirdly, please, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Notice David says, create in me a clean heart. God, you must create. God, you create. A heart is not cleansed by religious behavior or secular psychology. A heart is cleansed only by God, not by our effort. God creates out of nothing. So the Lord does not take some of us to be, hey, God, here I'm bringing you, you know, my good portion. You mix it in with some of you. That's not how it works. We have nothing good to offer God. What God does, he takes all of him and he puts it in us. So verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. So every person who genuinely loves Jesus Christ is a person then, is a person who longs for holiness and purity. They long to be clean. Every person here right now who genuinely loves Jesus Christ, they know that what sin does is pollutes our fountain and makes it disgusting. You go to get a drink of water and brown, gross, disgusting water comes out of the fountain. That is gross. No one wants to drink from that. That's what sin does to us. This is why David says, Lord, you must create in me a clean heart. Only God can create a clean heart. What's our job? We can't create it. We are to long for it and beg for it and ask for it. God create in me a clean heart. Let's just get some right theology here as we go through this important point right here, okay? Some right theology is this. At the moment of our conversion, a genuine conversion in Jesus Christ, the penalty of our sin is removed. Our status before, again, God in the eternal court of judgment, we are innocent because of Jesus Christ. Anyone who's genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, born again of the Holy Spirit, have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you are forever innocent. The penalty has been removed, never to be applied again. However, from the moment again of our justification begins the battle against the power of sin in our lives. The penalty of sin has been removed at conversion, but now we start to struggle against the power of sin, seeking to weaken the power by the Holy Spirit and to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is called sanctification. But the battle of sanctification, even the sin, even though our status will never be changed, once truly saved, our status will always be a child of God, always be adopted to God's family. That will never change. However, sin can still clog his power again through our lives. And that's the desperate need of renewal. An illustration we've used in this church for many, many years, one that's very close to my heart too, is that whenever we see drains get clogged, so six people in our family, our drains get clogged from time to time. And if you go to try to unclog that drain, let's just be honest, it's pretty gross. Four kids, it's gross. It's all them, it's not Jill or I. But what's in that drain? What's in that drain? It's literally our DNA. It is gross, disgusting, black filth. Hair, blah, blah, blah. I won't strap it too much because we're all starting to feel sick. But it's gross, right? You go in there and you have to unclog that grime and disgusting filth to get the water flowing through, again, those pipes. Again, so what do you do? You get a screwdriver and you get it. You're like, oh my goodness, that is, remember the first time I showed my daughter Sadie? She's like, what? That was hilarious. Anyways, put it in, go in the garbage. Or maybe you get liquid Drano, some version of that, and you pour it down with great satisfaction. It goes to work. And then eventually you wait and you put the hot water down. And it starts to go. And then the water starts to flow again. That is so wonderfully satisfying for me. I have metaphors in life that I just rejoice in that are all along this level of some kind or another. Dandelions is another one. It's just another metaphor of sin. I haven't brought that up in a few months. I'm due. Jesus, listen, Jesus wants his water to flow through our lives. In fact, look at what he says here in John chapter 7. Look at this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. Loved ones, look at this verse. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow a trickle. No. Out of his heart will flow a drop. Nope. not even a light stream. Nope. Rivers. Whoever believes in me. So this isn't just for some kind of, you know, person that we hold up in some level. Every single believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, you have been designed by the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your life is meant to have rivers, rivers of living water flowing from God through your life out to others and impact and fruit for Jesus Christ. And this refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Rivers. Many of us, we are so content with a couple of drops or a trickle. Jesus wants to see rivers coming from our lives. Our faith needs to increase with the expectation of what God wants to do and can do. Listen, through us as born again and saved in Jesus Christ. Awesome, my faith goes up even saying that out loud right now. David knows that a clean heart invites the power of God from God through our lives as a blessing. A river is coming through our lives of fruitfulness for him. Please, Lord, renew me, create in me a clean heart. Fourthly, please, O Lord, cast me not away. Look at verse 10 again. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So in verse 10, the word renew. Renew is a beautiful word, man. Just love the word renew. It means in the Hebrew here to restore, to repair, to renovate, to reconstruct. Renew a right, a steadfast spirit. This idea is to be made like new, a restoration to a former state of something that has previously faded. Think of how many of us, some of us here right now, we think to the past in times of our lives. We had a strong, hot passion for Jesus Christ. We had a strong affection for Jesus Christ. The volume of our voice sang loud. Our hands were often raised. Our Bibles were open. We felt a hunger for him. We desired to see evangelism for the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a real passion for the lost. We were serving in the church. We were bearing fruit through our lives. We just had Jesus Christ was truly the one that we were seeking first. We remember back the times where, again, the heat was intense for affection for Jesus Christ. But then what happens so often over time is sin subtly creeps in. And it's so often so subtle. It's like one decision, we wake up and we decide to just subtly go for the world as opposed to the Lord. And then it starts to kind of pile up over days and weeks and months. And then all of a sudden our heart grows cold to the things of Jesus Christ. All of a sudden our affections turn more to the world and its entertainment. And the next thing we know, we're going through a routine out of obligation, but there's no delight and there's no affection for Christ. This is why this message today is so utterly important. The call in our life today is to see renewal in the Lord. Again, renew in me a right spirit. He's speaking, listen, of a renovation of the heart. Let me ask you this question right now too, just point blank. Do we find more joy out of the prospect of a renovated kitchen or a renovated heart? And I ask that like with all seriousness, because this is part of the massive problem, is many times our greater joy, anticipation, effort, time, money, longing, affection would be placed in a renovated kitchen, and all the while we neglect the power, the grace, the blessing, the will of God, the joy of the Lord in an actually renovated heart. And so we miss out on God's true joy and purpose and power and blessing in our lives because we are preoccupied with the physical and the temporal, and in this case, the renovation of what we can see and touch as opposed to the most important thing we could ever present to God is a heart surrendered and renewed and renovated in Jesus Christ. And that'll be the difference between the men and the boys, spiritually speaking, and the women and the girls. That'll be the difference. Where do we actually believe that our joy is found? There's nothing more important. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. How much this matters to the Lord. Look at verse 11 now. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. So this is so important here too. David knows that renewal is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, renewal, you cannot manufacture renewal. It's got to be of the Lord. It's got to be of the Holy Spirit. But you can beg for it. You can beg for it. God, I pray, please in my life, renew me. I beg you for renewal, a renewed affection to be washed for joy. And David knows here that the Holy Spirit of God is everything in this process. Notice, David here, be careful, okay? David's not concerned about losing his salvation. Again, in the New Testament, at conversion, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. He fills us once and for all forever. But we can listen. We can, as we learned last week, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit with our sin, but we will never lose the Holy Spirit. But David is desperate for the power of God within his life. Verse 11 implies here that David had previously known the power of God's Spirit in his life. Sin has ruined that. And now he's like, I want it back, God. I want him back. That's a prayer God will answer. He desperately wants the power of the Holy Spirit back in his life because, as David himself said, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. This is Moses last week. Moses, the same thing. God, unless your presence, your Spirit comes, I'm not going. Because without your presence and your Holy Spirit, there's no point. This is David's chance now. David says, do not take your Holy Spirit away. Cast me not away from your presence, God, because your Holy Spirit is everything in my life. Everything. I ask you right now, do you know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the presence of God? Like, do you truly know? Have you ever truly been filled and encountered the fullness of God in terms of his presence filling your life and capturing all senses and devotion and passion and longing and priority, and where his kingdom was everything? And again, your voice was raised in volume and your hands were raised in worship and your direction was going straight for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you wake up in the morning and you can't wait to get in the Word and the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit and you do repent and you do ask for forgiveness and love comes from your life. Have you ever truly known the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? Some of us, the answer is no. No, it's been an intellectual exercise. The Christian faith is so much more than that. Where knowledge meets faith and heart, and then all of a sudden an explosion of power again from our lives, all because of God's grace and by his Spirit. Many of us do know what it is to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But for some of us, it's been a while. Let's join with David and say, I want him back. I want to know his presence. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God again. We desperately need to be filled with the Spirit of God again. I will not settle for less. I will not be satisfied with mediocrity. I cannot stand being lukewarm. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. And positioning ourselves with saying, cast me not away. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God any longer. Desperately desire his presence to fill my life again. Oh, I just pray so many of us are together in this. Again, man, if we were to take the Lord seriously with this text today, man, and look out, forces of darkness. Like, just watch out, because here comes a speeding train of light for the kingdom of God. And it won't be stopped. Renewal. But listen, loved ones, it's renewal. Men, renewal. Renewal brings this. The prayer for renewal. God, wash me. Let me hear joy. Create in me. Cast me not away. And then lastly, this. Oh God, please uphold me with a willing spirit. So verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Again, every verse here is so beautiful. again, renew, restore. So David is longing for something he has previously known. There was a time when David was reveling in God's salvation, when his joy was full, but through his sin, through the hardening of his heart, he lost it. He lost the joy of God's salvation. Now he wants it back. He's like, I want it back. I want it back. May we want it back too. Again, this is saying, no, I'm not satisfied with 6 out of 10. No, I'm not satisfied with just going through the motions. No, there's so much more in Christ. And so this beautiful process of David through repentance and renewal and being restored, leading to rejoicing, oh Lord, restore to us the joy of your salvation. And then notice what renewal does next. Notice through renewal and a revived heart leads to what? Leads to a refusal to give up. See, when we are renewed in the Lord, we are upheld. We see in perspective the grace of God. We are upheld with a spirit that is willing to keep going. That's what happens here in the text. Verse 10, renew a right or steadfast spirit. David's like, God, renew in me a spirit that will not give up, that will continue to persevere in this tough life we live. In verse 12 now, uphold me with a willing spirit to persevere and not give up as well, right? Because why is that so important? Because many of us do want to give up. Pastoral transparency. I do want to give up at times. So many times. Tempted to give up. So much easier to give up. That's why we need renewal. That's why we need messages like today. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough, but it's so good. Some people can't take it. They leave. I understand. But it's so needed. It is so needed, this text. Genuine followers of Christ, genuinely pursuing the Lord, genuinely filled with his love, genuinely want to humble ourselves before him. If we want to attract God's blessing and favor and power, this is the pathway. We need renewal that we persevere. Because what happens? When we are filled and renewed with the Lord, then all of a sudden we see Christ, all of a sudden we're strengthened by him, all of a sudden we know his joy, and then all of a sudden the next foot goes in front of the other. Instead of turning and leaving, all of a sudden the path before us and supernaturally filled with God, you make the next step and you show up to preach the next sermon or to say the next word or to open the next Bible or just follow Christ the next day. You just do it because you are given a willing spirit by someone that is so much greater than you, the Holy Spirit within you, because you love Jesus Christ. It all comes from renewal. We need to be renewed so much in the Lord. Renewal is the key to steadfastness. Again, it's through true renewal that we have a refusal to give up. David knows this. David gets it so much. Moses and David, like, man, they just get it. We are so wise to listen to them in their weakness as they pursue strength in Christ. Let's just summarize where we've been today. Here's our prayer. The prayer of renewal. I mean, this is worth taking a few moments this week. I'm prayer meeting this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Let's go. God, wash me clean. Repent of all known sin. Every single one. Lord, let me hear your joy. The bones of you broken, rejoice. Even today, it's just so beautiful to be here and in this, and it's just right. It's hard, but it's right. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. You must create in me a clean heart. God, I need a clean heart. You need to do that. Cast me away from your presence, God. We need your Holy Spirit so much. Your Holy Spirit in our lives. Man, we need his Holy Spirit so much. And then restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. God, you must uphold me. And then a willing spirit. You give a willing spirit. What a beautiful prayer this is, man. If you pray this prayer with authenticity, again, I like your chances. The Lord is irresistibly drawn to those who are broken. Let's just end with this last phrase right here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, if we take this seriously right here, if we take this seriously, men, women, children, but listen where I started, men, again, this is the call for wisdom right now. Listen, 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 we are being given right now in Orangeville and Overville. Listen, 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 listen. This is the pathway to blessing. This is the pathway. Pride is the pathway, again, to being opposed by God. Humility is the pathway to receiving the grace of God. This right here. Our next step is up to us in terms of what we do with what we've heard. God help us. Let's pray. God help us. Please, Lord, help us. Father, as I'm preaching this for the second time today, I believe it as much as I've ever believed it, ever, ever. It is so right. It's so right. It's not easy. It is not easy. I see my sin. I see my excuses. I see my hesitations, Lord. I see the rationalizations I try to put in front of it. But at the end of the day, I believe it so much. This is so right. You dwell with the lowly. You look to those of a broken and contrite spirit. You use those who humble themselves before you. And so I beg you, I can't change a single person, including myself, but I can beg the one who can. I ask you to, Father, I pray you will create in me a clean heart. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. Father, you have spoken today, and I pray you will now give us the grace and the longing to obey. For you are blessing, and you are life, and you are love. If you are here right now, and you've never truly given your life to Jesus Christ, now is the moment. Now. By faith. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm a sinner who's deserving of death. I need you to forgive me. You died on the cross for my sins. You rose from the dead, defeating death forever. And I need you. I need you to forgive me. Please, you say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you are life. I believe you are the Savior of my soul. And I give my life to you. Wash me clean. Wash me clean. Cry out to him. Wash me clean. Make me new. That you will never die again. This is the path to blessing. This is the path to hope. This is the path to everlasting life. All of it is found in Jesus Christ. I pray hundreds of us are praying right now that God would save people today. Hundreds and hundreds of us, I pray, right now are praying that we will see the strongholds of Satan broken and the veil lifted and blindness turned to sight and death turned to life. And those who are lost being found in Jesus' name. Do it, Lord. Why? Because that gives you glory. And we long to see your glory. Continue to lead us, Lord. We need you so much. Thank you for answered prayer today. Today, I'm so humbled by that. I'm so blessed by that. We love you in Jesus' name.